Baruch Mabam, everybody. Welcome to tonight's Parsha Share. This is the week of Parshas Shalach. Today is Chav Sivan Tavshin Pei Aleph, corresponding with the secular calendar, May 31st, 2021. This week's Parsha Shalach, perhaps would be the second most tragic episode that has happened to the Bnei Yisrael. The first one, obviously, is the Egel HaZahav. But this episode has had such a devastating domino effect on Klal Yisrael that we today are suffering from the impact. The story of the Meraglim is it's the infamous story of the Meraglim that took place at the beginning of the 40 years. They were about ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the incident that took place where the Bnei Yisrael appealed to Moshe Rabbeinu in strong terms that they wanted to be like other countries and they wanted someone to go ahead or a group of people to go and spy out the land. And the result was disastrous because they ended up speaking Lashon Hara and it caused an unbelievable, disastrous effect on Klal Yisrael. Let's go through some of the psukim and then I'd like to give you some commentary and we could get a better insight of what has happened. So we begin the parsha. V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mon. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Shalach l'cha anashim, send for yourself men, v'yasu es eretz Canaan, and they should spy out the land of Canaan, asher ani nosin l'vnei Yisrael, which I am giving to the Bnei Yisrael. Ish echad yishecha l'mate avosav, each man from his shevet with a leader, Tishlachu Kol Nasi Vahem. They should send a Nasi for them to represent them. Vayishlach Eisem Moshe, the Pasuk continues, and Moshe sent them Mimidbar Poron, from Midbar Poron, Al Pi Hashem, Kulam Anoshim, Moshe Bnei Yisrael Hema. All of them were men of dignity. They were men with a noble and wonderful reputation. They had a wonderful name. They were people who the Torah considers them anashim. These were men, right? They had been named by the Torah as leaders, and these are the people who were sent to go ahead and spy out the land. And we skip a few more psukim to Pasuk Yud Zayim, and there the Pasuk continues, Vayishlach Osem Moshe Lasu Es Eretz Canaan, and Moshe sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Vayomer Aleihem, he said to them, Aluzeh Benegev, go up from the Negev, that's the area, which was a desert area, Valisim Esahor, and to climb the mountain there. And then you examine the land and you see the topography, what's strong, what's weak, what's better, what's not so good. Get a feel for the land and you will have a better idea of what the Jewish people are going to be getting into. And in Pasuk of Ches, the Torah continues, and after they were sent to spy out the land, the Torah says, Vayashuvu mitur ha'oretz, they return back from spying out the land, miketz arboy im yom, at the end of 40 days, vayelchu vayavohu, and they went and came el Moshe ve'el Aharon, to Moshe and Aharon, el kol hadas b'nei Yisrael, and all of the congregation of the Jewish people in Midbar Poron, to Midbar Poron Kodeshot, going to Kodesh. Or Yashivu Eisem Dovar, and they return back the report. Ve'ez Kol Ha'eda, and to the whole congregation, Vayarum Es Peri Ha'oret, and they showed the Jewish people the fruit of the land, and we know that they cut off a cluster of grapes that was so large that it needed 8 people to carry it, and one of the meraglim was carried a fig, the other one was a pomegranate, and the only ones that didn't participate in their mischievous behavior was Yeshua ben Nun and Kolev ben Yefuna. These two separated themselves. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for them because he had an inkling that something disastrous was about to happen. And let's continue with the story, and the story continues on. Vayisapru lo vayomru, and they spoke to him, to Moshe, and they said, Bonu el ha'oret ashu shalachtanu, we came to the land that you have sent us. Vegam zavas chalav advash, it's flowing milk and honey. Vizeb piria, and these are its fruit. Efes, but ki az ha'om hayoshe ba'aretz, the people there are too strong, are very strong. Ve'ha'orim b'tzureis gedolos ma'od, and they have cities with fortified cities that with towers. Vegam yulide ha'anok re'inu sham, we saw there also the children of the giants roaming around, and they continue to paint the picture to be as bad and gloomy as you possibly can imagine. And then they added on top of that, Amalek yoshe ba'aretz ha'negev, and in the Negev area, Amalek resides. V'hakiti v'yavusi v'emori yoshe b'hor v'kinani yoshe al hayom v'al yad hayardein. All of these dangerous countries, nations, are all there at the area of Eretz Canaan, which we have examined. And you can imagine everybody was frightened. And right away, Kalev gets up, seeing that there was a terrible commotion among the Jewish people. Vayahas Kalev es ha'om el Moshe, and Kalev ben Yefuna quiets down to right before Moshe. Vayomer, alone aleh, we will for sure be able to go up. V'yarashnu osa, we were able to inherit it. Ki yachol nuchala, we for sure will be able to conquer the land. V'anoshem asha'oluimo amu, but the other 10 meraglim in unison said, no, we can't. Lo nuchal. We're not able, la'alos el'om, to bring up the people there. Ki chazok hu mimenu, because they are much stronger than him. Rashi says, what do you mean from him? And Rashi explains from Hashem. That was an open statement to declare their disbelief in Hashem. And the pasuk continued, "V'yotziu dibas ha'aretz asher toru oisa," and they spoke lashon hara on the land which they have spied out, El Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. Leimor, ha'aretz asher avarnu v'ala sur oisa, eretz ocheles yoshveha, the land that we have gone to spy out, it eat its inhabitants, it consumes the people. We've seen so many dead people all over the place. And Hashem did it on purpose so that they shouldn't be occupied running after the spies, but they should be burying their relatives. But they looked at it completely wrong way. V'chol ha'am, and all the people, asher inu b'socha, anshei midos, are people with great height and great strength. And this is what they said to frighten the Jewish people. And the Jewish people heard this. Vatisa kol ha'eda, the entire people, our nation, congregation, raised up their voices. V'yitnu eskolam v'yivku ha'am b'alaylahu. The Jewish people that night raised their voices and cried that night. It was the night of Tisha B'Av. V'yilonu al Moshe v'al Aharon. They complained against Moshe and Aharon, kol b'nei Yisrael. V'yomu aleihem kol ha'ezer. Lu masnu b'eretz Mitzrayim. We wish we would have died in Egypt. And this is how they cry. Now, this is the story. I read you a good part of the Chumash. But let's try to understand what happened over here. We know because of this incident over here that they didn't show their faith in Hashem. And they not only didn't show their faith in Hashem, but they complained that Hashem is trying to destroy them and to kill them. A terrible, terrible thing happened. We know as a result of this, we know that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that if they speak this way and they don't want to go to Eretz Canaan, they will die in the desert. And so it was. All those from 20 years of age and older ended up dying in the desert, as is brought down in the Sefer Mishnas, Rebbe Aaron, Aaron Kotler Zitzal. He brings out everyone in Shevet Levi and all the women had no problem with leaving the desert. They were able to survive, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. They were not part of this calamity. Only the tens of thousands of Jewish people who cry from the age of 20 and older. Every Tisha B'Av, and he brings down the following Gemara, called Erev Tisha B'Av, Hayu Moshe Moitzi Chavuz B'Chol Amachne. Moshe Rabbeinu would make an announcement throughout the camp and say, Tzu'u Lachvor, everyone dig yourself a ditch. Hayu Yotzim V'Chofim, everyone would go ahead and dig a ditch in Kavorais v'yashneben. They either ditches or graves, and they would sleep in the grave or they sleep in the ditch. V'achakach yotza basko. A basko would come out the following morning and they say, Hivdu hachayim, hivdu hachayim min hamesim. The chayim, the living people, should separate from the dead. And what happened? That every Tisha B'Av, 15,000 Jews died in the hole, in their grave that they dug. That was one thing that happened. Another thing that happened, it's brought down in Mishnah's Rebbe Aaron, that Hashem did not speak directly to Moshe Rabbeinu for 38 years. Hashem was so upset with the Bnei Yisrael that he couldn't bring himself to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu directly with the Nevuah. So for 38 years, he did not speak to Moshe. Once all of the Jewish people from 20 to 60 died, and it came out that anybody who was 60 years of age died. In other words, people lived up to the age of 60, and everybody saw that this was Yad Hashem. But that's not just that. The Chorban, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first and the second Beis HaMikdash, was on the day of Tisha B'Av, because Hashem said, you cried tears of nothingness and you will cry tears for generations. And on Tisha B'Av, it's noted that the first and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. And as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu eventually ended up hitting the rock, because he was on his way to go to Eretz Canaan, and if he would have gone to Eretz Canaan, there wouldn't have been a destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. If he would have gone to Eretz Canaan, there would have been a Mashiach. Look at all this that happened. Unbelievable. This is all the result of the Lashon Hara that was spoken against the land of Eretz Yisrael, of Eretz Canaan. And of course, against Hashem. Unbelievable. So we have to try to stop and understand this astronomical calamity. It's unbelievable. Look at the repercussions, and till today we are suffering for this. We have to walk away learning something. We have to walk away understanding some of their motives and to see how we can prevent ourselves from some of the things that happened at that time. It's like when they understand this korban, this understanding, let's say a person is about to die from a fatal illness. So what doctors trying to do is they try to examine the ill person and to investigate and make tests of all sorts, of all kinds, to be able to understand the illness in order to be able to come up with a vaccine like we have with this the COVID-19 disease. The world was working all together in unison, trying to come up with a vaccine. What do people do? People all together in different countries, in different communities, the doctors and the medical professions came together to understand the disease. And now, a year later, there are vaccines being given out to millions of people. But do we realize that over the year there were millions of people that died? I don't know, have the exact number, but millions of people died from COVID-19. So to understand the korban, the destruction that happened to the Jewish people in the desert, is lahavdil, like understanding COVID-19. Once we understand how it works, we can come up with a vaccine against it. If we understand what had happened in the time of the Meraglim, then we can walk away and draw conclusions that are helpful and that are meaningful to the Bnei Yisrael. So now let's stop and think. Das Torah, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, Harav Yeruchim Levavitz, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, brings down the famous Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha, Parshas Shalach. And Rashi says, Lama nismacha parshas Meraglim leparshas Miriam. Why was the Parsha of Meraglim right next to, back to back, to the story of Miriam, which was at the end of Parshas Bahaloscha? What was the reason for that? It's not haphazard. It's not happenstance. There is a reason for everything that the Torah puts one near the other. So, answers Rashi, Lefi shalaksa al ix iske diba shediba beyachiha, because she was smitten on the Lashon Hara that she spoke against her brother, which wasn't even so difficult and so evil. It was an inquiry which was said in a negative tone, and she was punished for Lashon Hara, and we have a mitzvah to remember that every day, and to remember the incident, how Hashem is so careful on Lashon Hara. V'rasha'im, Rashi continues, V'rasha'im halalu ra'u v'lalachu musar. These Rasha'im saw what happened to Miriam, because the whole Jewish people were stopped for 7 days until she was able to be connected to the Jewish people, because she was banished to the Machne Mitzorim. The Machne Mitzorim was outside the three camps. So Klal Yisrael couldn't travel. They waited for her. So everybody knew that. But they didn't take Musar. They didn't take instruction. And they ignored the incident. So the cause of all this, says Rashi, is that they didn't take Musar. They didn't take the example that took place with Miriam, who was a tzedekis, who was a prophetess, and she was punished for the Lashon Hara, and they ignored that, and it didn't apply it to themselves, and they spoke Lashon Hara against the land of Eretz Yisrael and against Hashem. This is step number one, to understand what has happened. Step number two, says the Rosh Hashiva, the Amir Rosh Hashiva. We have to understand that Hashem, when he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu about going to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem was not happy at all with the request. Hashem said at the beginning of the parasha, you want to go? Shalach lecha anu Hashem, you can send for yourself. I'm not happy with it. I'm not going to give them any siyata d'shmaya, any special heaven supervision. You want to send them? Listen, Hashem said, I told you that the land is tov. It's tov ma'od. It's wonderful. But you don't want to trust me? Okay, listen. If that's what you feel, you want them to go because you're being under the pressure of the Jewish people that say they want to act like other people and go spy out the land, then send. You go out and send. I won't stop you. But Rashi continues. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, and Hashem said, listen, you want to send, you can send. But then Rashi continues the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. Chayeyem sha'ani nosim lahem mokam litos. I promise you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a mistake. Ki lo yiyeh eisa Hashem imam la'akva minchit. You're not going to have any prevention of any siyata d'shmaya. If you want to do this on your own, you're prepared to take the responsibility, then you can go. But I am not going to be there to protect you. That is something that you are taking on your own, and so they were sent. And Chachamim in the Gemara told us, Amu Chazal in Gemara Kedushin, Yitzvah Shal Adam is Gaber Allah B'chol Yoyim U'mevakish HaMisai. The Rosh Hashiva Harav Yeruchim Levavid Zatzal is saying, quoting a Gemara, that Hashem is saying that the Yesahara of a person gets stronger every day. U'mevakish HaMisai, and tries to overcome and kill each individual. If Hashem would not help him, a man could not survive, because a man is fighting a Yetzirah, he's fighting a Malach. But every day, if you daven for Siyata D'Shmaya, Hashem will help you. Everybody who davens for help will be helped. So therefore, the Meraglim are going to go, and they're going to spy out the land. And I want you to know, they're not going to get my Siyata D'Shmaya. And for that reason, they're going to stumble. And even though they started off as Anoshim, men of stature, men with a wonderful reputation. They started off with Emunah and Bitachon too. But I'm not helping them. They're going to have to fend for themselves. And therefore, the result of their actions came about because Hashem was not protecting them from the natural fears and the natural concerns that they had encountered when they went to Eretz Canaan. This is what the Rosh Hashiva in the Mir explains. However, Yeshua ben Nun and Kolet ben Yefuna had a special siyata d'shmaya. They had, first of all, Moshe Rabbeinu had an inkling that something like this is going to happen, and he davened for Yehoshua ben Nun to be extra, be protected extra, because even Yehoshua ben Nun was very susceptible and vulnerable to all of the challenges that the other 10 Meraglim were going to face. And Kolad ben Yefune also had a feeling that there was some foul play, so to say, in the arena of the 10 Meraglim. And when he got to Hebron, he spread himself out to daven on the Kivrei Avos, on Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that they should come to his aid. Because he had this like sixth sense feeling that something wrong is taking place and he needed to be protected. And therefore, we have over here, and even we have an explanation from the Be'er Mechokek to support this whole idea that from the Chaim Mordechai Katz itself, to tell us that in truth they were on even on individually, maybe not just when they needed to daven only, but they also on their own were very, very strong in their emunah b'tochen, Yeshua ben Nun and Kolad ben Yefune, and they were originally very, very strong, that also helped them pull through with this challenge, together with the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu and the tefillahs that Kolad ben Yefune had by the graves. So we're having a little bit of an insight over here that what has happened is that the Meraglim went to this mission without the necessary siyata d'shmaya. However, there's another explanation to answer the why and the how this possibly could have happened with the disastrous effects. And I heard a shir from a Rav, Ephraim Waxman, who explains to us that there was a comment that the Torah says about their reply to Moshe Rabbeinu and their describing how they felt and how the Jewish people were going to feel when they come to Eretz Canaan. And what was that comment? As it says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, the Parak Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, I'll repeat the words. V'shomrei inu es ha-nefilim b'nei Anok. There we've seen Nephilim, these giants, sons of Anok, min ha-nefilim, the sons of the Nephilim. V'nehi ve'einenu kachagovim, and we were in our eyes as grasshoppers. V'chein ha-yinu ve'einayim, and so we were in their eyes as well. This was the death blow. This is the thing that did it, that made Klal Yisrael go into a state of hysteria. It was after they heard Kolad ben Yefune quieted down everybody and says, no, we are able to go up. It's easy. We will conquer them. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. They saw that Kolad ben Yefune got some attention, so they needed to give their death blow to the Jewish people by saying, we are incapable. We are like grasshoppers. And so we saw ourselves that way, and that's how they saw us, these little people running around like grasshoppers. And as soon as the Bnei Yisrael heard that, they became hysterical. And started to cry, and started complaining. And why did Moshe Rabbeinu take us out of Egypt to go ahead and kill us here in the desert? What is this? How come? And this is the beginning of the end. When a person begins to look at himself as a zero, as incapable, as a person who is not possible to achieve anything, if he's a grasshopper in the face of a giant, he is robbed from all of his strength, from any initiative, from any motivation of wanting to help himself or help others. And that was the death blow that the Meraglim gave to Bnei Yisrael when, after they heard Caleb ben Yefunneh get the attention of the Jewish people. Because if you can consider yourself as a nothing, well, then nothing can achieve anything. And this is the biggest problem where we are facing constantly. If we want to be able to achieve, we must be able to look at ourselves as achievers. And this robs the Bnei Yisrael from their emunah and betachin. Because a grasshopper, a zero, can't achieve anything. It's hard to believe how powerful of a comment it was. We all know that the Bnei Yisrael lived through many, many, many miracles. The miracles of the Ten Makkahs, the miracle of the Ananiah Cover, the miracles of the splitting of the sea. They experienced Har Sinai and they heard Hashem's voice. Their emunah and betachin was at a very, very high pitch, high level. What happened over here? All of a sudden, the Meraglim robbed them of their status. The Meraglim took away their strength. It zapped all of their strength because the Meraglim told them, you're zeros. A zero has no possibility of surviving. You're going to be destroyed. There's no emunah and betachin when you believe that you're a zero. There is no davening to Hashem if you're a zero. If you're a zero, there's no one that can help you because you're a zero. If you can't look at yourself as anything, then you are out to be destroyed by self-destruction, by literally self-destruction. And this is how Rabbi Ephraim Waxman explains what has happened over here. And therefore, Bnei Yisrael, who cried for nothing, were punished. And they had to be stuck in the desert for 40 years. And as I said before, they would have been brought to Eretz Canaan, and the Beis HaMikdash would have been built. Mashiach would have been here. The Jewish people would have lived in ecstasy. But because of the Lashon Hara that was spoken, they lost all that. And that's what the Meraglim ended up doing with their Lashon Hara. We have to walk away, stopping to think of how important that whatever we do in the eyes of Hashem is not a zero, but it is very precious and dear. Every one of us have to realize that, especially in the time of a generation such as the time we're living in today, where Torah and doing mitzvahs is going through a struggle, where observing Torah, even davening in a minyan, as we know it is true to be, even having schools open, it's a struggle, even to be able to congregate as we have been in the past has been very difficult. But then if that is true, then we have to recognize that whatever little bit we do is worth much, much more than we give it credit. Every mitzvah, every tefillah, every tzedakah, every noble comment you make to a friend that makes him feel good. Any encouraging word you say to a neighbor or encouraging word you say to a spouse is a mitzvah. Don't consider anything you do as something that's coming from a zero. Hashem values every little bit you do. There is no such thing as a small thing in the eyes of Hashem. And the Meraglim reduced Klal Yisrael to the level of a grasshopper. And that's the reason why they descended so low, even though they had gone through so many miracles. Because grasshoppers don't have emunah. Grasshoppers can't show their emunah. We have to learn from the story of the Meraglim how important it is, each and every one of us, how we have to rise to the challenge. And we're all on different levels. Nobody's on the same level. But there's no such thing as a small mitzvah. There's no such thing as a little learning, as a mishnah. Every mishnah is a big thing. Everything we say in Torah and everything we learn is a big deal. And we shouldn't walk away thinking ourselves, what are we, who could we be, and what will you think we'll be accomplishing? We're not allowed to think that way. That's one important lesson we learn from the story of the Meraglim. Another important lesson in summary is to understand that we have to, like the Yeruchim Levav Zatzal explained at the beginning of the parasha, that whatever we do, we have to include Hashem. We need Siyata Deshmaya in everything we do. Doesn't matter if it's learning Torah, doing mitzvahs, or going to work and doing business. Whatever we do, we need Siyata Deshmaya. And if you include Hashem in your life, if you include Hashem in your business, then Hashem is with you. We have to get into the habit of using these popular holy terms. Let's lose the term of Im Yirtza Hashem. I want to do something. Im Yirtza Hashem. If Hashem will allow me and help me. Or Be'ezus Hashem. I want to do something with the help of Hashem. Or if something good happens, say Baruch Hashem. You're feeling well, you're feeling good. How do you feel today? Baruch Hashem, very well. I had a great day. We have to start using Hashem in our lives, in our language, and it shouldn't be a strange word in our lexicon. It should be a regular word in our daily discussion, and therefore we bring Hashem into our lives. We have to dive in to Hashem and asking Him to include our success in our business and in our learning. When you say Shema Keleinu, Hashem, listen to our voice, you can have all the things that we pray for, health and happiness and parnasa, and the ill should be well. But we can also include that we should have Hashem give us success and guide us correctly in our daily happenings. We say right at the beginning of Shemona Esrei, Hashem, give us the knowledge, the intelligence, that we should make proper decisions. This is all what Hashem wants us to do. We have to include Hashem in our lives. Unfortunately, the Meraglim have not. Meraglim went without that concept of Hashem protecting them. They went without that protection. And therefore, in closing, we are forbidden to think that we are worthless and nothing. It brings out the worst of Avis. We must speak positively. We have to think positively. And we have to act positively. We have to encourage others to behave positively. And with this, we will have for sure Siyata Deshmaya. Hashem will shower upon us His goodness and His goodwill. Hashem wants us to include Him in our daily business. Hashem wants us to realize that we are very capable and to learn from the story of the Meraglim that Hashem is there to protect you and to help you and not to ignore His being around us all. May we all derive strength and courage to fight our Yetzer Hara every single day, and in Yetzer Hashem, we will succeed in making a Kiddush Hashem every single day. Have a wonderful week.